Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Spiritual care is a term that's used to assist people through the process of grief and loss when someone is at the end of their life or may have passed. I was fortunate to meet Nancy Hermson, who is the manager of the Wellness and Spiritual Care Services for the Central Adelaide Local Health Network. And we had a delightful conversation, and today she joins me on our podcast. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Kerry. It's nice to be here.
After our conversation, I felt it was really important for listeners to know about spiritual care and what that actually meant.
Well, it's a really hard thing to describe, but it's about providing a compassionate and spiritually informed service to people that may be in a place of distress or maybe unexpectedly finding themselves in hospital or may have just been given a diagnosis that they weren't expecting. It's a little bit about trying to connect with people and provide a bit of a human touch, particularly when they're in a hospital setting. And I like to think about it lying at the heart of the care that we provide in the hospital. You've got the doctors and nurses and the other health professionals providing all the clinical stuff. And spiritual care can just walk in, sit down, take a seat and just have a chat with someone and just find out what it is that's really important to that person, look at their strengths and just give them some hope in terms of what the next steps might be for them.
And Nancy, it's very much about the emotional side, isn't it? Because you've got this medical situation going on, a lot of it which we don't understand. But that emotional side is there for everyone. What do you think people go through when they're in hospital?
Oh, all sorts of emotions. People will be frightened. I will often say to people, you've got to remember that when you're in hospital, people are there on their worst days, okay? And I often talk to staff about being aware of that. You've got to remember that the hospital environment, people are there, they're distressed. You'll have family members who are really, really worried and also tense about what might be going on. If someone's in for theatre or surgery, then you have people, normally families, waiting, anxious to know what's happening, anxious to hear back from medical staff. So there's a lot of anxiety, a heightened level of emotion. And what we're trying to do is just let people know it's okay, please feel free. Please feel free to sit, make yourself comfortable. We understand that things are stressful. We'll try and sit with them, give them a cup of tea or coffee, and just help them pass that time until they know what is going on. If a patient's distressed, they might be distressed because they've just got the shock of some bad news. They may be uncertain about what their future may be. They may have grief if they've had an accident or if they've had something that's changed their ability to live the way that they've lived life before. They might be trying to work through the emotions that come with that and what does it mean in the future. So there's a mixture of grief, there's a mixture of fear, often not knowing what's going to happen next. And I suppose if they're able to have someone just sit and listen to them and just point out where their strengths are and offer, I suppose, that opportunity to think about what's going on, look at their strengths and find ways to use that to give them a sense of hope of what might happen next, no matter what that outcome might be.
And Nancy, of course, it's the practicalities as well that you may be able to help that people don't think about. You found this situation, if it is indeed an accident or you've just been given that diagnosis, what about your work? What about the arrangements? Who's going to do? It's a shock for people and then they're having to make decisions. How can spiritual care service help people through that process?
I think, once again, it's about just sitting and letting people talk things through, letting them talk things through uninterrupted, knowing that someone's there to listen. It just helps people process what has happened. It lets them process, okay, what questions, what things do I need to think about? Who is it that I can connect with in my family or in my community group who might be able to help me with this? It's a little bit about knowing that there will be meetings and there will be staff within the hospital to talk them through what their options are, to look at what the possibilities might be in the future. And I've got a story of one case where we've had a lady who's come into the hospital. She was known to a staff member that no longer worked at the hospital who came in to be her advocate. And for this lady, there had been a big change. She was previously quite independent and living on her own. And what had happened was whatever the illness was that she was no longer able to climb upstairs, and this was a problem because where she was living was in a unit upstairs. Anyhow, a lot of discussion occurred, a lot of planning went around looking at different options. This woman wanted to go back home, was given a number of opportunities and wasn't able to meet the requirements that she needed. But the solution in the end, with a lot of discussion with spiritual care as well as the rest of the medical team, was let's look at what the other options are. And it's come to be that there's a supported residential facility nursing home across the road from where she was living. And so now she's got the aim of looking to move into that nursing home. And what she can do is from a room in that nursing home, she can see her previous unit and she's able to liaise with the neighbours that she's friends with and has grown to love over the years. And so that was, a way of helping this lady accept what the diagnosis was for her, but it also gave her an opportunity to look for opportunities to stay close to where her original home was and still be connected with her community that she's gotten to know.
That's a really interesting point, Nancy, about the from an aged person's perspective, because if they do have a fall, then their whole life may change.
Absolutely.
Change where they live, change what they can and can't do. That's a big loss, isn't it, deal with?
Absolutely. And the loss can be huge. It can be the loss of home. It can be loss of connection with pets, not knowing where their pets can come with them. And all of these aspects make up a person and their spiritual wellbeing, as well as their greater wellbeing. And I think what the spiritual care service does is it tries to connect people, find out what is important with them, what's really important for them, and then brings that back to the medical team to say, oh, these are the things that are pertinent to this person if they're not able to speak for themselves. And then there's a role for either supporting the person to advocate for what their needs are or helping the person advocate for what their needs may be.
And Nancy, do you ever have the situation where you see tensions amongst family with the person who's experiencing the ill health?
Yeah, that can happen quite a bit. And what we find is for people sometimes to have a complete stranger to sit and just talk through all of their issues can just help them clarify what it is that they really want. And maybe there can be that opportunity to talk through, well, how do we share what your concerns are or what your needs are with family members? And sometimes we can play a role in that. Sometimes it's a little bit more tricky, but it's also something helpful for the medical and social work people to know that is going on for the family so that they can try and mediate as well around what it is that the patient needs and what it is that the patient is able to achieve.
Because they may not feel comfortable saying it themselves, but it's something that you can say as that third party.
Absolutely. I think sometimes people really cherish the opportunity to have someone just sit and listen without judgment and just hear their story. And sometimes that's enough for people just to say, right, I feel better now, I can move on. And or it might be just enough for people to sit with that and then think about what is really important to them, particularly if you're skilled at asking them questions about what is it that's really important to you? What is it that will make you get out of bed in the morning? What is it that will give you the hope to continue on? And if you can clarify that essence for people, then people can be a little bit clearer about what they want and what they need and what they will do to try and get that outcome for themselves.
I'm talking to Nancy Hermson, who is the manager of the Wellness and Spiritual Care Services Central Adelaide Local Health Network, about that topic of spiritual care and how that emotional side is so important, particularly when you have a health diagnosis that is a shock and not what you expect. Now, Nancy, I was very taken with the story about the wooden hearts and crosses.
Yeah. This was an amazing journey even for me. It started off with coming back to the office, it must be about 2 years ago, and just finding a red shoebox on my desk with a name on the top saying Mickey and Bracket Men Shed with a phone number. And when I lift the lid off the box, what I saw was what I call a sea of what I now know are comfort crosses. They were little wooden crosses. And I didn't know much about comfort crosses, but I looked at them and I spoke to the team and I just sort of said, this is what's come up. Please feel free to use them where you think it's relevant. And so they did, and I didn't think much of it. And after not too long, we started to get some interesting stories. So I was meeting with a nursing staff member. It was a business meeting. Anyhow, she saw one of these crosses and she said to me, you know, my mum had one of those crosses and she wore it on her heart each time she went in for chemotherapy. It just seemed to give her some hope or some sustenance in terms of trying to get through the chemotherapy. And she wore it on her heart every time she was there. And she said, and as she was dying, she had it on her heart and she held it until she died. And I was quite struck by that and I thought, oh, I wonder what this is all about. And so I started to do a little bit of Googling and sure enough, I found the concept of a comfort cross, which apparently, according to Wikipedia, has come from an American hospice nurse talking to her husband one day, just saying it would be lovely to give people something to hold on to or something significant to for them as they go through their palliative care. And so her husband actually came up, he was a carpenter with a little cross, and that's apparently the origin of the comfort crosses. I'm sure your audience might have some other stories in terms of where they've come from. So I connected with Mickey after a while, and I just sort of said to him, look, these comfort crosses are really having an impact. We're getting all of these wonderful stories. And so he went about making a couple of different prototypes. He made some smaller ones, and I sent them off to the Women's and Children's Hospital to find that they will often use them for babies. And then after a while, I said to Mickey, I met up with him again, I said, it would be lovely if we could do something for people that maybe Christian faith is not their connection. Would you be happy to do some comfort hearts, I called them? And so sure enough, he's actually developed some comfort hearts, and we've put them out there. And once again, stories came out. And I suppose the most significant one I remember was a nurse manager coming in. He walked past, we had some hearts on the table, and he came up to me and he said, look, I've just come back from a funeral of one of my colleagues, and I've seen this heart, could I please take it? And I said, yeah, sure. He goes, it's got her name on it. And so he's picked that heart up and he's taken that with him, and that's his memory of her. And it's obviously significant in some small way for him as he grieves the loss of that colleague. So there's something about them which I can't quite put my finger on, but it's really, really pertinent. And then further on, Mickey wasn't well. I knew Mickey wasn't well. He didn't tell me too much. But probably almost a year ago, it was early August, I got a call from him, and he was actually in hospital. And he said to me, Nancy, I'd like to see you. I think I'm on my last days. And sure enough, he called me probably 3 or 4 days before he died. So I went up to him and we caught up with him, and it was just amazing. He let me know that many, many years ago, his great-grandfather was asked to come and to New Zealand, and I think he must have been British, and he was asked to sort out the Maoris in New Zealand. And he said to me, you know, well, my great-grandfather never did that. He ended up marrying a Maori princess. And I had no idea that Mickey had a New Zealand or Maori ancestry, but anyhow, so that was just another little surprise. And what he did was he showed me in his hands, he was in a lot of pain at that time, he had his own comfort cross, which he had made. And I said to him, look, I need to pay you back for all that you've done. So I wrote his story up, and I sent it up to him, and I said, have a read of this. Are you happy with this? He said, yeah, that's lovely. Could you please laminate it? So I wrote it up, and I put a little background of wooden crosses, and I laminated it for him and gave it to him, and he was so happy. And I think that was probably the last time I spoke to him. What I didn't realise is by putting that laminated story about his crosses and the stories that we had heard about them on his overlay is that his family ended up reading those stories, and they were absolutely touched and just blown away by this little legacy that he had left that they knew nothing about, and it continues today. So as a result, we ended up speaking at his memorial service, and now the Paraka Men's Shed continue to make us wooden hearts and crosses, and I've got some here to give to you today just as an example. But we continue to have people pick up the wooden hearts and crosses. It's just a symbol of hope, and it just gives comfort.
When you look at any major celebration, you look at Anzac Day and the representations that we all use, it's important to have that because it helps people commemorate and spend that time thinking about it. And Nancy, it's a non-denominational service you provide, or people don't have to have any belief all, or it doesn't matter if you have a particular belief.
No, it's all very much around the person and what is their spiritual need. If you look at the definition of spiritual care, I love the one by Dr. Kate Pitterman, who's a researcher in spiritual care in the US. And she said, trying to define spiritual care is like trying to nail jelly to a wall. And what she's trying to say is that spiritual care is really about the person and what's significant to them. So for one person, it might be their fur children. For others, it might be being with nature. For other people, it might be crystals. And for some others, it might be a religious faith, a faith of some sort. And we just work with the people to sit with them and find out what it is that gives them meaning, and then we work from there. And if it is about being with nature or something else, that nature will try and discuss and talk with them about why it is significant, what is it that they get from that, what is the peace that it brings to them. And if it's something that's religious, then if we can't support whatever that faith is, then we'll reach out to the faith community and actually get that faith representative to come in and see the person. And that seems to work really, really well.
That's great that you do that, that you help the person reach out, because they may have been disconnected for a while, but it's often amazing how when people are facing their end, they suddenly want to have that reconnection with something that supported them in the past. So facing our own mortality and that acceptance of death is never easy for anyone. And how do you deal with it yourself? How do you cope with having that much death around you?
That's a really good question, actually. look, it is part of life. And I think one of the things is in the role that I'm in, we get to talk about it. We get to see what people go through. We try and support people as they go through it and their families as they go through it. If you're able to engage with people at that time, even though there is a lot of negativity around death, there can also be a lot of beauty. We can see times where families are brought together. And if it's a parent, it's lovely to see that the parent has managed to bring their families together. Sometimes these families have been estranged and they've been able to come together and be at peace just because they need to be there for mum or dad or grandma or grandpa or whatever it may be. That doesn't always happen, but when it does, there's an essence of beauty around the passing of that person. And there's often the opportunity, and I hear my staff talk about it, where they will encourage in that situation for people to talk about memories. And often there can be a bit of banter and a bit of laughter and reminiscence about all the different things and all the happy times that they've had. So there can be an essence of beauty around the fact that someone's life is passing and that family have come together to support that person at that time. In the case of Mickey, even, I just remember the extended family always being there and taking turns to be with him. There's a process that people go through, as sad as it may be. There's a beauty with bringing people together. Other times it can be a little bit about people having the opportunity to talk about, are they ready for death? And I know of one case where we had one man who had a terrible disease. He was a young man. He had lost so much. And it took a number of meetings where the spiritual care practitioner sat with that person and talked through a whole lot of different things. And I remember quite clearly when there was a discussion around, well, what is your fear around death and what happens after death? These sorts of things were discussed. And it got to the point where this person said, yeah, look, I'm ready to go. And all the suffering that he had, just basically he was released from it. I think it was a day or not even 2 days after that he had made up his mind that he did pass away. So, yes, it is very negative. Yes, it's very fearful. But there's also something that can be positive in the fact that families come together, in the fact that people have a release from suffering, and that there's some sort of legacy that that person can leave to their loved ones about the life that they've lived and what was good about it.
And it's that introspection and deep thinking, Nancy, that most of us never do when we never take that time. And there are other religions that, look, we should be doing that, we should be meditating on that, but people will just push it away. Mm. But when you're faced with it, you can learn a lot about yourself when experiencing that with a family member, and that person who's experiencing it can also learn a lot about themselves because they're actually taking the time out. It's a shame people don't do that anyway, but they usually wait until that. Then I'm sure you've heard people say, I wish, has that come out as a comment? I wish, yeah. I had of, and then there's what are the wishes?
Yeah. And it's just interesting. I just had a story yesterday from one of the staff that works at the Queen Liz who's connecting with someone who's been given a terminal diagnosis but has 6 months. And they are working closely with this person and their mother just to look at, okay, what has happened in life? What has been my values? What has been my strength? And what is the learning that I've got from that? And what are the things that I've done through other hard times? And what are those gifts that I have that I can bring to this next chapter in my life as they face what the diagnosis is saying? So there's that process sometimes where we do get the opportunity to get to know people and work with them as they works through what they are going to do. And it's a little bit about being present and enjoying the moment and celebrating the moment and sharing what you can with the people that are most dearest to you as that time comes.
And you were speaking, Nancy, about the past hurts and healing. It's a shame people do leave it until that point, but at least they have an opportunity if you can create that environment, because that's something that's, once the person is gone, they have gone.
Yeah. And there's been a couple of situations where that has come into play. And I think I remember one other story, once again, with another staff member a few years ago. This person had a strange relationship with a family member and couldn't connect. So hyper-anxious about it because they wanted to set things right before they passed. And in the end, the resolution was for this person to write a letter. So spiritual care practitioner sat with them and actually worked with them to write this letter, which was addressed to their family member and sent to their family member. So even though that opportunity to catch up wasn't there, that person was able to put things down in paper, and that lowered their anxiety in a huge way because it just allowed them to finish off that little bit of unfinished business that was important for them to sort out before they died.
So, Nancy, what would you tell people to take home from our podcast today to think about spiritual care?
I would be saying live for the moment, know what is most important to you, and focus on making sure that you connect with those people or those aspects of your life. If it is people, let them know that you love them every day, because you just don't know when your time will be up. And definitely we see that. You know, there's a lot of people that shouldn't have to die but do. And talk to people about what's important to you. Let them know what it is that you would like them to do if you were dying, or would like them to do after you have gone. Be open to discuss things about life being short, and yeah, there will be a time when I won't be around, and this is what I would like you to do in that time. I think if you can share those moments, as uncomfortable as they are, it can be a rewarding time. And, you know, if things have not gone well in your family or with people that are close to you, have a think about that, and just have a think. If that person wasn't there tomorrow, what does that mean to you? Would you miss them? Would you be still uptight about whatever the tensions have been? Or would you be in a place where you'd be happy to say bygones are bygones, and I'd rather catch up and have that time with you?
So, Nancy, how does someone access the wellness and spiritual care services?
That's easy done. You can ask your health professional at the hospital to make contact with the spiritual care service. If not, you could ring the Royal Adelaide Hospital or the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and ask them to page for the spiritual care service, or to put them through to the spiritual care service area, and you'll probably get to me at the end of a message or at the end of my mobile. That's probably the easiest way. If you're at Hampstead or Repat, once again, I'd probably ring the Royal Adelaide Hospital and ask for the spiritual care service, and you'll be put through to our service.
Thank you for joining us today on this important topic.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au, and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.